12 apostles. You know, did you ever think that all the things that God has asked of people, all the things that we see in Scripture, and the things that come from those people being faithful to God when He asked them to do something, it's not that He asked them to do something that was so hard. It was being faithful to Him and belief enough to do it is what was hard. What He asked you to do wasn't too bad. But what comes from that makes a huge difference. In Acts 10, 3 through 5, it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. I know y'all know this, and most people do. Acts chapter 10 talks about the Gentiles coming into the faith, and it talks about Cornelius. And you know what he was doing? He was asking God for salvation. He was asking God to accept him as he would accept a Jew. He was offering up sacrifices and monies, and he was asking for God to accept his worship is what he was doing, right? And an angel came to him, right? That's what it said. It was in a vision, and we see in Hebrews that God in various ways in times past only spoke to us through His Son, spoke in visions and dreams and things like that. And God's always done this. But there was a point when He said, but in these last days, He only talked to us through His Son. And we know from Revelation, oh my gosh, I don't know. It's in Revelation, it says, and on His thigh was wrote King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and His name is called the Word of God. Once the Word of God came into its completion, God was done speaking in dreams and visions, okay? Because why would He? He wouldn't need to say anything else other than what's in Scripture. And so, these dreams and visions, God had passed away. But in this time of Acts chapter 10, which was, I don't know, approximately 8 to 10 years after Pentecost, the Scriptures certainly had not come together. Matter of fact, 8 to 10 years after Pentecost, I don't know if all the Gospels had even been written, right? I don't think they were done until in the 50s. So an angel came to him. Why didn't the angel just tell him? Right? Wouldn't it have made sense if an angel of God stands before you and is looking you right in the face? Don't you think that the angel is fully capable of knowing what to say from God? Because he came from God, right? That's what it said. The angel came and said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God, and because of those, I am here, right? So because of what Cornelius was doing, God sent the angel. But the angel didn't tell him what to do. Wouldn't that have made more sense? There's a few things in life when you start to grow as a Christian, understand that God has accountability for everyone. Everyone. The angels, Satan, the fallen, the lost, the being saved, the ones who give up. He holds accountability to everyone, every single person. And so once His Son came and walked among men and left a message, and He told 12 men, deliver this message to the world. Do you know what He expected them to do? To do that, right? So for 12 men, it was given to deliver the message of salvation to the world. An angel come before him, and the angel said, go to Peter. Right? The angel could have told him, but he said, you go to Peter. The church was going to grow by the abilities of just 12 men. And I thought that this lesson was beneficial to us, because you experience church growth and then it goes away, and then you get a few more, and it's kind of up and down, and it's very unpredictable. It could be very disheartening, it could be very encouraging, and then some days you just don't even know what to think. It's like your mind is just flatlined and you're just waiting for God to come along and put those paddles on to start your thinking again, right? Sometimes you're just here. How do you think those 12 men felt that were going to establish the church of the living God? How do you think they felt? Do you think they felt like that was an undoable task? Do we think it's an undoable task to grow a church? I'll tell you what's an undoable task, if we should think about anything. It's God working in our life, right? And that's really where these 12 men had to come down. God didn't expect these 12 men by their abilities as carpenters, as bankers and all this to build and fund a growing empire, right? A church. He didn't expect them by those abilities. But what he expected them to do was by his abilities. And so the people, these 12 apostles that were going to grow this church, you better believe that these people had to look at themselves to see where they were at with God. Because in this task that they were given, there's no way that they would ever grow a church if they didn't fully rely on God. Now here we are, right? We're trying to grow a church. We're trying to grow ourselves, and none of that will ever happen unless we take personal accountability and look at ourselves and see how much we're really relying on God. Because, I mean, we got to live in the world. We have to do certain things in the world, right? I mean, if I want food in my house, I have to go to the grocery store. And if I want to buy the groceries, I got to pay for what they're asking, right? Unless I just steal it. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to rely on Him. And what I want us to see is as we grow, I want us to see who we're relying on. Do you know who we're relying on? We're relying on these 12 men who built this body that we're in today. Because those 12 men fully relied on God. And so therefore, we are relying on God. But we're relying for the faithfulness of these men. If we or this church is going to grow, it's got to be because someone else is relying on our faithfulness in these 12 men who trusted in God. Okay? It's never going to happen any other way. We can pray for the seats to be filled. We can pray for this and that, but it's never going to happen unless we're the type of people that God wants other people to be around to see that example. And you know what He wanted them to see in the apostles? He first wanted them to see failure. Because every one of those men were failures before God. Peter, look what he did. Paul, look what he did. These are people that were well trusted, and their failures were foremost in what they did to show people that they relied on Jesus, right? Paul, many times in the New Testament in his writings, said that of all the things that I did, and God still allows me to be a part of this ministry. Acts 6, 2-3. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over their business." Over this business, I'm sorry. And see, a lot of people believe that this was the preacher, right? And this was the elders that were the waiter of tables. But he had it backwards, right? They had it backwards. These people here were the elders. These were the ones that stayed in the Word of God, that taught the people of God. And the ones that were called out were deacons. These were the ones that did some of the other things that had to be accomplished in the church, right? Somebody's got to mow the yard. Nobody's going to come to a church that looks like that, I don't know, that we're trying to hide from people, or that, you know, that there's only one person here and we don't have a lawnmower, right? Nobody's going to do that. I mean, there's certain things that have to be done. When you come in and it's 100 degrees outside and we don't have air conditioning and we just have the windows open, how many people do you think we would lose, right? I mean, I might even consider... It's pretty tough when you get the heat in here without the cool air. So there's things that have to be done in a church. And these people, that studied the Word of God relied on other people to do this. See, the apostles, some wrote. Not all the apostles wrote books. It's so interesting to me that there are people that walked with Jesus, the same as Peter, the same as John, and you know their name and you don't know anything else about them. That's pretty amazing to me. They walked with Jesus, and there's people that never knew their name, more than their name, but they knew nothing else. See, that should give encouragement to somebody like us. Who's going to know my name, right, 100 years from now? I don't care. Who's going to know your name? Hopefully, one person will remember you as the one that brought God into their life. That's what we'd hope for, right? So some wrote, some studied Old Testament Scripture for prophecies of Jesus. If you look at the book of Mark, who was the cousin of Barnabas, he was a companion of Paul, and Peter. And when you look at Mark, Mark said, and this happened as a fulfillment of prophecy. And this happened to fulfill the prophecy. And this happened as prophecy was being fulfilled. Right? The only way, he wanted to make sure that this Jesus, whom he was going to trust, and these men who had come in that were building this church and doing this teaching, he wanted to make sure that this Jesus whom they were preaching, that he himself first was okay with this. And how he did that is he went back to the Old Testament. He said that these things were prophesied about the coming Messiah. And when he saw that, he's like, oh my gosh, Jesus fulfilled that. And in his writings, that's what he said, thus fulfilling Scripture. Right? One of them was when he says in the voice, gosh, I know I'm going to slaughter this, but the voices of Rama was crying in the night, and she refused to be comforted because of the loss of her children. Right? And when Jesus was born, this prophecy was given because when Jesus was born and they were looking for him, they were slaughtering the kids looking for Christ. So the birth of Christ brought about the death of all these children. And Mark brought this to their attention and said, God said this was going to happen. Why? Because people hate God. And there's no greater way for us to know the hatred of somebody than if they're willing to kill a child for no reason. Right? The innocent little child that looks up at you, fully trusting and smiling, and you shove a sword in their chest. All right, that's pure hatred. So these 12, they had different jobs, if you will, if I could use that word, in the upcoming church. This church did not stand on one man alone. Because Jesus, when he left, he was the power behind 12 men. The Holy Spirit was the guarantee that these 12 men would be successful. Jesus himself, his ministry centered around the Sea of Galilee. It's a very small place. But Jesus, when he went away, he told them, you go into all the world. In Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the prophets told about Jesus. How hard do you think that would be is that when the prophets went to the kings of Judah, went to the kings of Israel, went to the kings, David. Nathan was a prophet that went to David and a Israel that was not divided, and he had to rebuke him and correct him. And so how is it that these prophets would go to these people and they would predict of a future event that would happen to punish Israel because of their unfaithfulness? At some point, the people who were being prophesied to and the prophets would have to think, oh my gosh, if God's going to fix this, he's got to totally change everything up. You see, the prophets told about Jesus and the coming church. And what's so great about these apostles is that these apostles seen what the prophets were prophesying, that God was going to have to change something. These apostles walked under that old covenant, kept the law, and then when Jesus came, they stepped into the new covenant. So the prophets even prophesied about these 12 men. They were going to transition the world, the godly world, the Jewish world, the Jewish religion. It was going to be end as God brought a new covenant. You can see that in Hebrews, came in and brought a new covenant to the house of Israel and to Judah. That all was hinged on these 12 men. But these 12 men accomplished this not because they were great men, not because they were smart men, not because they were strong men. These men accomplished this because they understood, and in this writing you can see it when Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, the apostles and the prophets. Remember what the church is supposed to do? To plant and to water, right? But Jesus is the cornerstone. The apostles, the prophets would not have been successful if Jesus hadn't come. And the apostles would have never been able to found a church in His name if Jesus hadn't come. Right? It's God that gives the increase. If we want to be successful as Christians and we want to look at the apostles and say, if Jesus were here and walked the earth while I'm here right now, this was the time and not their time, would I have been one of the apostles? That's a good question that a lot of people have asked over the years. I've asked myself, and you know, what is the answer? The answer is always a generic answer. I don't like generic answers. The answer was, well, I'd like to think so, right? I'd like to believe I would be. Well, there's a way that you can know, right? There's a way that you can know. Are you willing to take all that you have in your mind? I mean, I'm not talking about bringing the deed to your house and your car and your bank account and say, here, I'm showing God that I trust Him, right? Even the church pays the light bill, right? Right? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. God wants lawful actions. So in your mind, do you really believe that the way you accomplish what God wants you to do is by relying on God first? Now, we say that, right? Yes, that's what we do, yes. Okay, so how do we prove that? Is our life centered around God? See, there's an issue. That's where, this is stuff that I ask myself, right? Y'all might think that these are for y'all, but these are questions that I ask myself, and I've said that 100 times or whatever, but is my life centered around God? Well, I go to bed thinking that I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. I'm at work thinking a couple more hours and I'll be able to get home, wash this off, get me something to eat, and get my mind about me, right? And I can forget about all this stuff. And then when I get home, my wife's home. It's what we're having for dinner. And then we have a little system. She cooks, I clean up. I cook, she cleans up, right? It just kind of split that a little bit. And so that when whoever's done with what the task is that they're doing, they don't have to do anything else before we can sit down, right? And so all of this stuff. And so then we sit down, and guess what it is, right? What are we going to watch? Right? What are we going to watch? And then after we're watching what we're watching, it's what time are we going to bed? How is that a God-focused life, right? There's moments in my life where I have 7 lessons ahead, right? I have 7 lessons ahead. So I know what I'm going to preach over the next 7 Sundays, Lord willing. And I don't know what order I'm going to preach them in. Hopefully God will show me that, you know, hopefully He's behind the lessons. But anyway, but then there's times when I wake up on Sunday morning and I have nothing other than a thought that I've been carrying all week. And I just haven't had time to put it down, right? Well, I've had time, but I've been busy doing other stuff. So would I have been an apostle? I would have to say at this point in my life, from this point back, I'd have to say no. From this point forward, how I'm starting to see things, how I'm trying to see things, I can honestly say that there might have been a possibility. But wouldn't we have been one to think we would have been one of the ones that watched that would have been an apostle? And for the women, you know, there were women that come around that took care of these men, took care of Jesus, did these things. Would you have been one of those women? Right? Just because you can't honestly answer to say, yeah, I would have been one of the teaching apostles, knowing that there were no women teaching apostles, right? Would you have been one of the women that took care of Jesus? Would you have committed what you do for a man to do to the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? Would you have done that? Would you have taken care of him, of his needs, you know, washed his feet and whatever it is that women did back in that day to do for a man, right? I'm sure some of it that prepared his meals. I don't know, right? Whatever. Would you have been one of those women? Would you have sacrificed your mindset to say that I am in service to God? And if I'm honest with myself, when I look back on my life, I could say that the majority of my life has been spent, I'm talking even as a Christian, okay, 29 this forward, has been spent on my needs. How would you ever grow a church that way? How would the apostles have ever grown a church that way? You see, that's why we rely on them, because they did something that we haven't been able to do. And that's to give 100% focus to Christ. They did. Could we? Yes, but we haven't. So therefore, we have to rely on them. Thank God that they did that. You see, the prophets told about Jesus in the coming church. The apostles walked with that Jesus and set up on his body on the earth. But those apostles understood that he was the chief cornerstone, not my abilities. My last slide. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them the things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the Scripture. This is talking about Paul's writings. That's the epistles he's talking about, Paul's writings. And he says that some of those things are hard to understand, and people who don't understand, that they're untaught, they're unstable, they've got a double mind, they twist to their own destruction. And he calls Paul's writing scriptures. There's people that you will talk to and say how much you trust with the apostles' doctrine, how much you trust the scriptures that are written, and they just say, well, they're just traditions of men. We can only trust what Jesus said. Right? This other stuff was just traditions of men. They're way off base. They're way off base. Because this word scripture is talking about the scriptures, right? The scriptures. That's what it's talking about. And here, they're saying that Paul's writings are a part of those. Can you really believe that someone who walked this earth 2,000 years ago can tell us how to live today? Physically, no. We have a lot of advances that it would blow their minds. The travel, the rate of information, how we get our food, all of that, it would blow their minds. But spiritually, yes. Yes, they could tell us how to live. Do you believe that? Do you trust in that? See, because these apostles established this church because not of their own abilities, but because of their trust in Jesus who taught them. In that resurrection, they trusted in the abilities of God, not in their own. See, Paul's writings and the scripture that's talked about here in the 2 Peter passage, they come from the same source of writings as the Old Testament did. Came from the Holy Spirit. And if you back up a little bit in 2 Peter 1:21, he lays the groundwork to let you know that the Scriptures, Paul's writings, all of this came by the inspiration of God, not of men. Right? It was the Holy Spirit that moved these men to write these things. John 21:17, he said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? This aggravated Peter, right? He's like, how come you keep asking me the same question, right? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, then you feed my sheep. What he was saying, he was asking him three times. He said, it's easy to say it. He said, but now you're asking me, you know these things. Why do you keep asking me? He says, well, because I'm going to let you know that if you ask me and I give you the answer, I expect you to do it. And you know, one of the things right here, it's interesting to me that when we look back into the prophets, Jonah was the first prophet, book prophet, that went into the New Testament. The other prophets were named prophets that spoke with kings and everything, but it was Simon, son of Jonah. Jonah was the first book prophet that spoke to the church about going to the Gentile nation. And you know, Peter went to the Gentiles. Pretty amazing, right? And, oh gosh, I looked this up this morning. How long was this? I want to say it was about 800 years, okay? I could be wrong. So if you look and you find it was 900 or 700, you know, don't think that I don't know what I was talking about, but around 800 years, right? So I'm sure that 800 years have passed, and this is just a coincidence in Scripture that Jonah was the father of Peter, who Jonah was the one that went to the Gentiles. I'm sure that was just a coincidence that over 800 years that some man picked that up and said, oh, I'm going to put this in here, right? I'm going to name his name Jonah, because he's going to have a son, Peter, that's going to go to the Gentiles. Nobody knew that but God, right? How amazing, you know? But anyway, he asked him three times because he's letting them know. You know, the writing of the Hebrews was holy, holy, holy. You know why he said holy, holy, holy? It's not, it's because he wanted you to know that that was set apart by God, right? It was a term used to show supreme sacrifice. When Jesus asked Peter three times, and Peter after the third time says, "Yes, you know the answer to this," and he said, "Well, then you do it. You do it." And so Peter had to ask himself, "Am I going to do this?" Right? You're sitting in church. You're sitting in church. God is working with you. God is building you up as a holy temple, a living stone. Are you going to do what God asks because you trust God? And if you think that, well, gosh, you look at your abilities, you look at what you have to work with, and you think, "I can't do this." 12 men established the church because they trusted in God. Not because they were able to establish a church. They were persecuted and killed by the government. They established the church because they trusted in God. And just as we see here, it's not lip service that you say you trust in God. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Then feed my sheep." You say you want to be a Christian, then you feed my sheep. And you know the most amazing thing is, he's still doing it today. He's still doing it today, right? We just read 2 Peter passage. Who do you think wrote Peter? Right? He is feeding his sheep. How amazing is that? You see, this was accomplished not because of the abilities of the men, but because they trusted in God. Anybody ever seen The Nutty Professor? Right? The one with Eddie Murphy? "Yes, I can!" Right? "Yes, I can!" Right? He was fat and they said he couldn't lose weight. He said, "Yes, I can!" God is able because, not because of your abilities, but because of Him. He's asking you. So when there's a daunting task set before you, do you think you're capable of doing this? Jesus told Peter, you more than just him, because we think that Jesus would be the one that fed the sheep, but he did. He's the cornerstone. But the apostles had to do their part. He said, feed the flock. And this is what scriptures still do today. Last scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. We've talked about this. We've even talked about it this morning. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we look at that and we think, oh yeah, God's just trying to encourage us. No. God is showing you that He demands something from you. He demands that trust, that loyalty. If you're going to say it, then you do it. Because these men did not have the ability to do what was accomplished by them, but God did. And the reason it happened is because they did what God asked them to do. He said it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. All those things need to come to us. Do you need to be corrected this morning? Maybe it's me, right? Do you need doctrine? Do you need to satisfy something in your mind? Scripture can do that. To reproof, to build on your faith, to do, God can do that, right? He can do all this stuff. And He says, for instructions in righteousness, right, to give us the direction to move forward. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. See, that's why He does this. That's why we trust in this. That if there's ever anything that we need from God, He's given it to us right here. And if that's not enough, He's given us the Holy Spirit to pull those things out of Scripture. To build and to grow and to do it God's way. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, I'm sure this task was given to the apostles and that seemed impossible. But Paul said their trust was not in themselves, but in God. And so we can say, just like Paul said, just like Peter said, that we trust in God, not in ourselves. But these men that did that, they didn't just say they trusted in God. He says, "Oh, you trust in me?" And then he looked to Peter and he says, "Then you feed my sheep." What's Peter going to say then? God told him, "You feed my sheep." Right, what's he going to say there? "Well, I trust in you, God." He says, "You trust in me. I just told you, you feed my sheep." What task is expected by God today that seems so impossible to you? Right? What task? You think you have something in your life that God's asked you to do that's impossible? You're looking at the wrong thing then. These 12 apostles didn't look at the church that they had to build, right? They didn't sit down with architects and money and try to figure all this stuff out. They looked at Scripture and how the men of God did these things. And so if you're looking at something in your life today that you think is impossible to do, let's look at the things that God's asked you to do that you can do, right? Reading Scripture. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. You're not capable of going home and reading Scripture? We've read it here today, but that's not going to be enough to get you through the week. If that's all you do, then you're never going to grow. You're not. I wouldn't grow if the only time I ever looked in Scripture was when I tried to put a lesson together. I wouldn't be the elder that I should be, or that I could be, and I should step down. What task seems so impossible to you? Coming together once a week, is it so hard? I know there's times, but we're not talking about times. We're talking about a lifestyle. Are you committed to being here? And when you find out that you can't be here, does that create some sort of distress? Is that an issue? Is that a problem for you? Right? These are the things that God has asked you to do. Can you do these things? You're looking at the problem that has to be fixed by being faithful. He says, you be faithful, I fix the problem. You're not faithful, you got to go out there and fix the problem, you're going to screw it up. Be faithful, I will fix the problem. These 12 apostles were faithful to me. I built the church through them. Remembering who our sacrifice is, they stood steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, our sacrifice. You know, it's possible that if we stayed away from this table long enough, that we would forget, actually, that Jesus is the one that died for us. Because we would get in the mindset that, well, I guess I should go to church today. You know, I guess God deserves it, right? That's the mindset that we could get into. And that's the mindset we will get into. That's why God tells us to do this, because He knows what's going to happen. And you can look at the world today. The world today as a whole doesn't center themselves around God. And look at what's happened. Look at the evil and the mindset that exists today. And God said, you stay away from me, this is what happens. And it's true. The apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, the gathering, the fellowship, and then the prayers. Offering up prayers for ourselves and for those around us. God wants to know what's on your heart and what's on your mind. If we're going to keep that hidden from God, He can't do anything about it. And you say, well, I pray. This is the place where we stand before the sacrifice. If there's anything you want to bring up, you bring it up here. God says there's a prayer closet, right? We should have one of those. And if we have one of those, then we have. If that's the case and He's okay with saying the prayers there, not here, why do we have prayers? Right? This is the place where we say those things that are on our heart to try to work things out in our mind to see, hey, guess what? You feel the same way? I didn't know. You're going through the same stuff? I didn't know, right? God did what? You worked it out? You failed? How can you still praise God when you failed, right? These 12 apostles, as men, they failed in the eyes of the world. But did they fail? No, they did not. And it's not because of their abilities. Their abilities were far short. But their faithfulness exceeded by none. Do we trust in God or ourselves? And so we have to ask ourselves, if we trust in those apostles, who did they trust in? Same process was given to the Jews. It said they looked at those apostles like the world looks at us, ignorant and unlearned men. We're stupid. We're old-fashioned. We're just barbaric in our thinking, and we're weak, and therefore we need somebody to in the spiritual realm to help us because we're just lazy and weak. And they looked at those apostles, and they were ignorant and unlearned men. But then they remembered they had been with Jesus, right? And then the world looks at us, and one day they'll see, proof positive on the day of judgment, what made the difference between these people is not that they were so great, not because they were so strong, not because they were so pretty, not because they were so able. None of this, right? It's because they stood with Jesus. They believed and stood with Jesus. And how you put all that together, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, before he said this, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For the remission of sin, you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. You can't do these things without the Holy Spirit of God. Does He give you the strength? Yes. Does He give you the ability? Yes. But does He give you the drive? No. You have that He is your anchor. If you're willing to fight against this world, He'll make sure that you succeed, even though you will fail. Doesn't make any sense, does it? I'll tell you what doesn't make sense is that God would put up with us and put up with the little effort we put into this and make so much come from it. That's what doesn't make sense. But yet God does. And if He can do that, everything else can make sense to me. If He can take such little effort and teach anybody by me standing up here and running my flap, He can do anything in this world. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?